A couple days ago on the podcast, I brought up a question that I've been wondering myself. What were the barriers that existed for Brian Kelly at Notre Dame that left him championship-less throughout his tenure at Notre Dame? So I kind of got down to the nitty-gritty of it, but it really brought me to the main question that I wanted to ask, which is what I want to get into today. Do I think that Brian Kelly can win a national championship at LSU?
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, we are on YouTube as well. So make sure to check us out on your preferred podcast platform. Check us out on YouTube. Like, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. Always love hearing from y'all and always appreciate you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every single day. My name is Caroline Fenton. I am your host, as I am every day. You can find me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. Appreciate y'all for making me a part of your day every single day. So a couple days ago on the podcast, I presented some research that I did about the question that I had been pondering, and that was, why wasn't Brian Kelly able to win a championship at LSU, or excuse me, at Notre Dame? You know, he got his teams to the big dance several times. He made it to a BCS national championship, ultimately lost to Alabama in that year. He got two teams to the college football playoff, both in 2018 and 2020, but wasn't able to get past the semifinals. So I thought, what was the reason why he could never, you know, win the big dance in the multiple opportunities he had to win a championship? What barriers existed at Notre Dame? Do those barriers exist at LSU? But I think overall, you know, the very core of the point that I was trying to get to, and I enjoyed doing the research, I enjoyed kind of breaking down all the numbers. The real point that I was trying to get to was to answer the question that I have and you all have, and the same questions that we've been wondering ever since the day Brian Kelly got hired. And that is, do I think that Brian Kelly can win a national championship at LSU? And my feelings about it were pretty much reiterated verbatim from Josh Pate, who, of course, hosts the Late Kick podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network on CBS Sports. He was asked that same question. He does mailbags daily. I believe it's daily. He had a mailbag question for coming in from an LSU fan asking him that same question. Do you think Brian Kelly can win a national title at LSU? I feel the same way Josh Pate does. This was Josh Pate.
Do you think LSU will win a national title in the next 5 years? From Frankfort, Kentucky. And my answer is approximately, yeah, why not? I think LSU will win a title in the next 5 years. Shame on you, Josh. Brian Kelly has never shown the ability to win a title. Actually, I think he has. It's just that showing the ability to win a title, showing me that you have the ability to win a title doesn't always include having won a title.
So, and I think that's a very fair point to make. Just because you haven't yet won a title doesn't mean that you don't possess the ability to. Name the top college football coaches in the country. Who you think it is? I think that Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dabo Sweeney, those are very fair coaches on your list, very fair names to have on your list. You probably also thought of Jim Harbaugh. You probably also thought of Ryan Day. You may have also thought of Lincoln Riley. Maybe you thought of Lane Kiffin. Brian Kelly probably came to your mind. Well, a majority of the coaches on that list, all but three of the coaches on that list that I just named, and you could give so many more you can make so many more arguments for coaches that should be in that conversation of some of the best college coaches in America. But I think that those are all fair coaches to name. All but three coaches that I just named never won a national championship. Ryan Day has gotten there several times. He's never won one. Lincoln Riley has gotten to the semifinals and lost in the semifinals more than any other coach in college football. He's never won one. You look at Harbaugh. He's never won one as a coach. Michigan's been in the playoff the last 2 years. They've never won one. So I think that when we critique coaches or when we look at Brian Kelly under a microscope, it's not fair to say that he's never won one, so he never will. Just because he hasn't won one doesn't mean that he won't. And that's kind of why I was getting to the point of in that last podcast where I talked about the boundaries or the barriers, rather, for Brian Kelly and LSU is just because he hasn't won one yet doesn't mean that it's not coming. What resources need to be available in order to win one? You know, what level of competition do you need to be at in order to win a national championship? But I will reiterate what Josh Pate said, because I think it's exactly how I feel. Do I think he can win a national championship? Yeah, I do. Why would I have any reason not to believe that? Brian Kelly has showed me that he can be a national championship caliber coach. In order to be a national championship caliber coach, without having won a national championship, I think you need to check a few boxes. One, have you beaten some of the best talent, some of the top teams in the country? Brian Kelly did that just last year alone. And he's done it throughout his entirety of his career. I mean, he's beaten a whole lot of teams, a whole lot of ranked teams, and a whole lot of talent throughout his career at Notre Dame. He has done that. Have you shown me that you can recruit? Brian Kelly's done that at Notre Dame. Brian Kelly has had top 10 recruiting classes in the last two recruiting classes in his time at LSU. I think that was a fair argument against Brian Kelly when he was hired at LSU was, can he recruit in the South? Can he recruit in the state of Louisiana? I think just in the small sample size that we have of Brian Kelly so far at LSU is, yes, Brian Kelly can do that. Are you a solid tactician? You know, can you one, coach up your players in the preseason? And also, can you identify talent? And can you coach in games? I think that the only evidence I really need to show you is going for two against Alabama. Now, I've criticized some of Brian Kelly's in-game decision-making a few times. For example, deciding to leave Harold Perkins on the sideline from the Georgia to Tennessee game, I thought that was a bad decision. I understand the X's and O's of it. I understand that, you know, they were going nickel and going spread defense for majority of that Tennessee game. That only allowed two linebackers on the field. They weren't going to move Harold Perkins to inside linebacker. I know, I've heard it, I hear you, but he's one of your best players. You cannot leave one of your best players on the sidelines against one of the best teams in the country. Going for two against Texas A&M, I didn't agree with that decision. I didn't understand why he decided to do that. But I think overall, like, I can nitpick a lot of in-game decision-making, and I have and I will continue to do that once football season comes around. I will always look at those play calls and that decision-making under a microscope because that's my job. That's why I'm here. But I think overall, Brian Kelly has shown that he is a good developer of talent, a good scouter of talent, and overall a really solid tactician. I think those are all, you know, things that kind of can make up the anatomy of a national championship caliber coach. And think about it. There are a lot of coaches that have won national titles that aren't national title caliber coaches. Me, I name one that used to coach at LSU. I don't think anyone across America looks at Coach O as one of the best coaches in the country. I don't think anyone looks at Coach O as a national championship caliber coach, but he is a coach who won a national championship. There are a whole lot of national championship caliber coaches that have yet to win one. But until you do, you're always going to be slapped with that label of can never win the big dance. And that's the label that currently exists for Brian Kelly. And I think, you know, since he hasn't won one, I can't really dispute that. But what I can say is I think it will happen. Josh Pate mentions in the next 5 years. I would say that's probably a fair timeline. A lot can change in 5 years. Football changes at a rapid pace, and it is only changing at an even more and more rapid pace year over year over year. Things change, things get harder. Things change, things make it easier. I don't know. But overall, it's hard for me to project what's going to happen in 5 years from now. But with the projection of this program over just from 22 to 2023, sure. Why not? Why not? If I'm a betting woman and on the sports books, do you think LSU is going to win a title in the next 5 years? That doesn't exist, but let's just pretend. I'd bet on that. I'd put money on that. And I think you should too. I think that Brian Kelly has shown enough in year one to make you feel good about the trajectory of this team over 5 years. Success isn't linear. Neither is football success. Next 5 years, I would feel pretty good about it. And also, if I didn't think that Brian Kelly could win a national championship at LSU, I would be calling for his job. And I'm not doing that. I did a whole lot of that with Brian Pullian, and I said it loud enough that they heard me. I'm kidding. But I would be calling for his job, because why else are you there? Why else are you here to coach this football team if not to win a national championship? And I'm not calling for anybody's job. I'm not calling for Brian Kelly's job. I'm excited about what he's done at LSU. But coming up next, I can say all day long, I think Brian Kelly is going to win a national championship. But what do you need to win a national championship? What is the makeup of a national championship program? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about FanDuel. So the tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, it's secure, and it is super easy to use. And then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. You can do player points, rebounds, assists, and it is so fun. This is the best time of year to download FanDuel because there are games all the time, all day long, around the clock. I know that you've probably been sitting on your couch watching those games over the last couple days, just like I have, and it's been so much fun to be invested in the tournament, even when my team isn't in it, because I got money on it. I got money on the line. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Well, thanks again for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So if I'm going to say I think that LSU and Brian Kelly are going to win a national title in the next 5 years, and I stand by that, what does that mean? What do you need to win a national championship? Now, let me couch all of this conversation because I can already hear you coming for me. That there is no formula for winning a national championship. If there was, everyone would be winning national championships every single year. If there was, it wouldn't be this difficult because there is no formula that exists. Every single year in college football is completely different. This game is changing by the day, by the week, by the month, by the year. I mean, even look at college football now. It looks almost, you know, unrecognizable, and that's dramatic, but it's the sentiment remains that college football 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago doesn't even really seem like the same sport. So I understand that. Everything changes, every year changes. Not everything is going to be, you know, the exact same every single year. Teams get hot some years, teams get cold some years. You know, things happen. Conference expansion happens, college football playoff expansion happens. Things that are out of your control just simply happen. Injuries happen. So I understand that. I know all of that. But if we're going to get as close to a formula as possible, this is kind of what I've come up with. First and foremost, what I think you need is a solid quarterback. I think solid's all you need. Now, an elite quarterback absolutely doesn't hurt your team. But I don't think that you need an elite quarterback every single year in order to be a national title contender. I'll explain. Bryce Young, I think, was the best quarterback in college football last year. Bryce Young, I think, was the best quarterback in college football the year before. Bryce Young did not win a national championship at Alabama. Think about that. If it was just about having an elite quarterback, Bryce Young would have two national championships. In that span, Stetson Bennett, a quarterback that is not elite, that looked better in 22 than he did in 21, but he is not an elite quarterback. He is not viewed as an NFL caliber quarterback. In that same span of Bryce Young, the best quarterback in college football, with zero national championships, Stetson Bennett has two. So I think that you need a solid quarterback. What I mean by solid is, does he take care of the football? Does he get the ball to his playmakers? Does he make plays on the ground? Is he able to extend plays on the ground? Can he read defenses? Is he, you know, a master of the playbook? Things like that, where your quarterback's not going to cost you games, but your quarterback's also going to have to win you a few games as well. Is that what you have? That's what I think you need at the bare minimum. You can't have a scrub out there and expect to win a national title. Not in this day and age. Not in this day and age. Because even in 21, like, Stetson Bennett wasn't a scrub. He was able to get the ball to his best playmakers, and he took it from there, and the defense took it from there. So that's really all you need. I think that LSU has that. I don't think Jaden Daniels is an elite quarterback. Jaden Daniels is a very, very solid quarterback. He doesn't turn the football over. He, for the most part, later on this past season, more so than the beginning of the season, was able to get the football to his playmakers. He absolutely is able to extend plays with his legs and to make plays with his legs. I think that that box is checked by LSU with Jaden Daniels. Number two, you need to be solid on both sides of the football. And I don't care how elite your quarterback is. You need to be solid on both sides of the ball. I don't think that Alabama's secondary this past year was as good as their secondaries of the past. And I think that ultimately hurt this football team. I don't think that Alabama's wide receiver core was as solid as it has been in the past. Think about like the Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, Jameson Williams days of Alabama wide receivers. They didn't have that this year. So even with an elite quarterback and, you know, an average to above average pass catching core, they weren't able to win a national title. So you need to have more than just your quarterback. That's why Georgia was able to win a national championship with a not elite at all, not even close to being elite quarterback. And they were able to win a national title is because they were elite defensively. So, you know, you don't need an elite quarterback, but you need to be elite somewhere else. Or you don't need an elite offense, but you need an elite defense, if you know what I mean. And, like, and just look at this. Like in 2022, Georgia had the number 5 ranked offense in America, the number 10 ranked defense. They're not elite, elite, elite on either side, but they are really freaking good on both sides of the football. The top offense in the country this past year was Tennessee. And yeah, Tennessee was number 1 at one point. And yeah, Tennessee had a really great season. But Georgia kind of rolled all over Tennessee. And Tennessee didn't even make the college football playoff. So having that elite offense isn't everything. It can be, but it isn't everything. 2021, Georgia had the number 9 ranked offense and number 1 defense. That's why they were able to win a national title. Didn't have an elite quarterback, but had an elite, elite, elite defense. The top offense that year was Ohio State. They didn't even make the college football playoff. 2020, Alabama had the number 2 offense and the number 13 defense. That offense was just absolutely stacked. But I didn't think Mac Jones was elite. He was really good and had really good playmakers around him and had a really good signal caller. But overall, you know, he wasn't elite. That offense was. That defense was good. Not elite, really good though. 2019 LSU, I think we understand. That was just an elite offense, and that was an elite quarterback. And LSU had the 33rd ranked defense. So they could afford to have a defense ranked, you know, 33rd in the country when you have such an elite offense, when you have such an elite quarterback to carry you forward. And the defense was still great. 2018, I'll just go back 5 years. 2018, Clemson had the number 4 ranked offense and the number 1 ranked defense. That was just a really, really good team with a really, really good quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. So if you look at it, there is no formula. There is no national champion year to year to year to year that has number 1 defense and number 1 offense or number 10 offense, number 1 defense. It changes every single year. But I think the overall takeaway is you need to be solid to elite on both sides of the football. You can afford to not be elite as long as you have an elite complementary unit, if that makes sense. So you don't need to have the best defense and the best offense and the best special teams unit. You just need to have overall a really good team. You need to have good coaches. You need to have good tacticians. I'll kind of double down on that. You need to have good in-game coaching. You need to have good development. You need to have coaches and coordinators that have a good feel for the game and are good play callers. Those are all kind of a given. You need to just have a good coaching staff. I think that all of these national championship winners of the last 5 years, they all satisfy that. Just good coaches, good tacticians, good play callers, good developers, and good scouters of talent. So, I mean, I think that's as close of a formula as you can get. It's just have good players, be solid, and have good players, good coaches, and don't make mistakes. That's really what it comes down to. So it sounds simple, but man, oh man, is it difficult. Coming up next, SEC baseball is finally here, baby. We will preview LSU, Texas A&M. Also, women's basketball has tipped off the women's basketball tournament, the NCAA tournament, so we will preview LSU women's basketball as well. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Built Bar. So if we're Built March Madness bracket is finally here, then we know that you have a favorite bar or puff. And now is your time to make it count. So go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know that I will be voting for the peanut butter brownie bar. I love the peanut butter brownie bar. I can eat it every single morning. And honestly, I do most mornings. And if you want, you know, whatever sports team that you want to win in March Madness, LSU is not in it. But hey, if you want the LSU women's basketball team to win the women's tournament to win, then you'll be voting for them as well. So support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Happy St. Patrick's Day, you lucky one, because you'll get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. I wish I could qualify for that. I would love it if Built bars just showed up on my doorstep every single month. You've got to try Built Bar. Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, I promise. They're so amazing. They're so delicious. And you won't even think they're good for you because they're so good. They're covered in chocolate, real chocolate, 100% real chocolate. But you don't have to sacrifice your macros. High protein, low sugar, 100% real chocolate. I mean, what's bad about that? So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff. And pick up a box while you are there. You can vote every single day in March, so hop in and support your pick. It's finally here, and I'm so excited. I've been wanting this since the very first game against Central Michigan, and I was talking about this day finally being here and how excited I was, and that is the beginning of SEC baseball play. That I think you are too, and I can sense the excitement coming from the LSU fan base that finally – LSU, the number one team in the country that has done nothing but support the claim that they should be the number one team in the country, to finally show that off against some of the top talent and some of the best teams in the country. I mean, look at the top seven in the college baseball rankings right now. Six of the top seven teams in the country are SEC teams. So this is when it really matters. This is when Paul Skeens has nights like he has every single Friday night, when he's not giving up a single hit, when he's walking no batters, when he's going six innings with 12 strikeouts. This is when it really matters, and it's finally here. LSU starts tournament conference play against Texas A&M. First pitch is at 6 o'clock on Friday in Bluebell Park in College Station. Now, okay, going into this series, this is where both teams are at. A little bit of a refresher with LSU. I think we all know they've only lost one game so far this season. They dropped that one game to Iowa in the round-up tournament. But they're on an 11-game winning streak, and they have just been playing out of their freaking minds offensively and defensively. In their last four games, so the past week since last Friday, LSU has outscored their opponents 52-2. Let that marinate. 52-2. Now, it was against Samford in New Orleans, but still, I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule, and I think that gives you good context to just how hard this team has been playing. It's only getting more difficult. The SEC schedule is a total gauntlet for everyone, but especially LSU, looking at the first few games, the first few weekend series in their schedule. It's only going to get more difficult. But everything that LSU has done up to this point, except for that one smudge against Iowa, has proven that they are the best team in the country. Just continue to prove it. Continue to do that throughout conference play, because it will be more tangible and it'll be stronger when you do it against opponents like Texas A&M, who is coming into this series ranked number 15 in the country. And I think that so far throughout the season, I think Texas A&M has kind of fallen short of expectations. And I always say beware the beginning of the college baseball season, because you're figuring out your lineup, you're figuring out your pitching rotation. You may have guys coming in from the transfer portal. They're trying to see how they fit in the system. So I always say beware the beginning of the season. But I think a lot of people expected A&M to be better than number 15 in the country, or to be better than their record may indicate. Right now they're in an eight-game winning streak, and they have been hot, 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 but they started off a bit rough. They won three games to start the season, and they lost one to Lamar, dropped two in a row against Portland. They lost to Louisville, and they've gotten on track since then. So, again, in an eight-game winning streak, Texas A&M is starting to feel it. They're getting hot. They've been playing better. They absolutely have been playing better over the last few weeks than they have at the beginning of the season. Tonight, LSU will face Nathan Detmer at Texas A&M. Really solid pitcher. A really good pitcher. 2.37 ERA. He has four starts so far in the season. He's given up 14 hits, eight runs, seven walks, and zero home runs. To kind of get that into perspective a little bit, and I hate using this as perspective because I think that he's the outlier, not the rule, but Paul Skeens, who's on the mound tonight, just to put those numbers in perspective, he has a 0.75 ERA, which, oh my God, that's almost like not even, you can't even wrap your mind around how good that is. And four starts. Eight hits, two runs, four walks, and zero home runs given up. So it's going to be a really fun battle of pitchers tonight. Two of the best pitchers in the SEC. Paul Skeens, I would put probably a notch above, but also he's Paul freaking Skeens. And he has proven that he is the best, if not one of the best pitchers in college baseball. So that's what I'm looking at tonight. Going to be a really fun pitching battle. And it's going to be really fun to see LSU finally against an SEC opponent and to see their offense as it's been, you know, red hot recently. Defensively, they've been red hot recently. Pitching has been great recently. So continue that kind of momentum moving forward into SEC tournament play. Champion. SEC conference play. Jeez Louise, I'm having a hard time today. Speaking of tournaments, the women's basketball tournament has tipped off and LSU takes on Hawaii at 4:30 on Friday. And LSU is hosting that series in Louisiana. So we will be cheering on the Lady Tigers in the tournament because they made the tournament. Men did not. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. Everyone have a great St. Patrick's Day, a very fun and safe weekend. Always appreciate you for making Locked On LSU your first listen. But for your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.